Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me to Jonah chapter 2 tonight? We continue our study through the book of Jonah. And we want to learn to trust and obey God in every circumstance. And we learned last week about the prayer of Jonah. It took 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish before he cried out to God. And God heard him in his prayer there. And we're going to learn tonight about the progress of Jonah as he starts to move back in the right direction. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word tonight. And I pray that the word of God will speak to all of our hearts tonight. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, and we're going to read on into chapter 3 just a little. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity together to worship you tonight and to look into the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who is able to join us on the live stream that can't be here in person. But I pray that the word of God would convict all of our hearts tonight. Lord, that we would see that you are the God of second chances. And Lord, that though we fall short, though we rebel, though we sin against you and turn away from your will, that you are a loving, merciful God, and we can turn back to you because of your great love and mercy. And I pray that anyone who's turned to the right hand or to the left this week or even today, that today they would repent and get back on the right path tonight. And Lord, help us. Help us to hear your word. Help us to be convicted in our hearts. Teach us your truth and help us to be faithful and obedient. And Lord, I pray anyone hearing this message tonight, right here in this room or watching online who's never been born again, Lord, that you would convict them tonight by your Spirit in such an overwhelming way that they can do nothing but cry out to Jesus, call on your name and be saved. Please let us see souls saved, lives changed, and that you would get all the glory because of the word of God tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our obstinate will does not change God's omniscient will. Obstinance is stubbornness or rebellion. And God gives us free will. And when we push against God's will, when we're obstinate, when we're stubborn, when we're like that bullheaded mule and don't do what God wants, that has no impact on God's omniscient will. God's going to accomplish his will, and it's better for us to get in line with God's will. God's not going to change his perfect will to accommodate our wishes. And we would be silly to believe that. The reality is we ought to learn to obey God the first time he speaks, because our delay will not change God's direction. Now, we're going to learn some great truths here tonight, and it's good news to know that God will allow you and God will enable you to get back up even though you fall. Because of God's grace and mercy, we don't fall down and stay down. The righteous man falls seven times and rises up again. That's not because he's so good. That's because God's so good. The righteous falls seven times and rises up again because God's gracious and merciful and long-suffering and kind. And he'll let you get back up again. And he'll help you to get back up again. And he'll enable you to move forward. We need to learn as Christians that we're going to mess up. And when we mess up, we've got to fess up. And we've got to learn that when we fall into Jesus, not away from Jesus. We've got to stop being rebellious. We've got to stop being stiff-necked, and we've got to start turning to God. God is a God of second chances and third and fourth and fifth chances. And if you've been saved any length of time, you've experienced the long-suffering nature of God. If you've been saved any length of time at all, you know that God has put up with a lot of nonsense from us, and it's because he's so good. Victory, listen to this, victory in your life, victory in your life is only one step of obedience away. One step of obedience, and you could get right back on the path of victory. That's the grace of God. Now, the Lord spake unto the fish. This is one of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, doesn't that paint a beautiful picture in your mouth? I've never seen a fish vomit before. Never seen a whale vomit. I kind of wondered if it was like a cat with a fur ball. Have anybody ever seen that before? That's lovely. Maybe it was like that for the whale. I don't really know. But the fish was probably already sick of Jonah anyway. Bad preachers can cause indigestion for anybody. That's bad, isn't it? Good jokes. Good jokes. Aren't you glad that God is patient? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up when we do? But I want to tell you that I'm gonna throw you under the bus with me. It's really easy for us to go from being on a mountaintop and feeling really good about things in life and ministry and where we're headed for the Lord. It's really easy for us to go from being way up here to being in a place of utter despair. I mean, we can switch gears from being way up here to being, I don't even know why I'm doing this anymore. I'm just going to quit. I don't think I'll ever go back to church again. I mean, we can switch gears just like that. Aren't we glad that God isn't like that? God could have used anybody to go to Nineveh. He could have used anybody to go and preach the word that he wanted to preach there, but he chose to use Jonah. Our God is intensely interested in the salvation of the people on this planet. He could have used any number of ways to get that job done, but he chose to use us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. He says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Now, I want to make sure you understand what Paul's saying to the church at Corinth. He's saying, listen, God doesn't use wise but foolish. God doesn't use mighty things but weak things. God doesn't use big things, noble things, but base things. God uses things that really are nothing to bring to nothing that think they are something. And if you understand what he's saying, he's really telling the church, he's, listen, I know that you're weak, and I know that you're base, and I know that you're foolish, but God's going to use you anyway. Now, maybe that doesn't feel too uplifting to you, but that's extremely encouraging to my heart. Because I know that I'm not strong, and I know that I'm not wise, and I know that there's not a whole lot to offer here, but that's the grace of God. Listen, he's talking about you. He's talking about you that say, I don't know my Bible well enough to knock on doors. I don't know all the answers enough to talk to my friend or my neighbor or my coworker or my family member. He's talking about you who think you're too low or too weak or that you just don't know enough. Listen, he's talking to you because it's not about us. It's not about our eloquence or our knowledge or our intellect. It's about him. And when it's just us, we know it's not us. So it's got to be him working through us, and he gets all the glory. So the fish gets sick. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. All God had to do was give the word, and Jonah was back on dry land. God's word is infinitely powerful. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. When God spoke, the world was created. When God spoke, Jesus rose from the grave. When God speaks, things happen. He spoke to the fish, and it obeyed. Jonah had been to school, and now school was out. The sooner we learn to obey, the sooner we can make progress on the journey God has for us. The reality is, friends, when we obey, it shows that we love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said in John 15:14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We love the Lord and we are walking with the Lord when we do what God has called us to do. Obedience is the best way to show that we believe. We can say that we believe the Word of God. We can say we believe these truths. We can say we believe in Jesus. But if we say we believe and then we don't do what the Word of God says, then we're actually demonstrating that we actually don't believe what it says. Obedience is the way we demonstrate our faith. Obedience is the way our beliefs are really known. Our beliefs determine our behaviors. What we do is a result of what we actually believe. It's hard to understand why we have such a hard time with obedience. Some of you still have kids at home. Some of you have raised your children. But just think about when your kids are small, and those of you who have small kids. Like, I have this conversation with my children from time to time. Like, listen. When you do what mommy and daddy say to do, life is better for you. When you do what mommy and daddy say to do, life is better for you and it's better for everyone in the house. And when you don't do what mommy and daddy say to do, life is bad for you. And when that happens, it's bad for everyone in the house. So why don't you just obey? Please, please obey. Nobody else has those kind of conversations with their kids? Okay? Amen. Thank you. Listen, we are like stubborn toddlers sometimes. We know life is better when we obey. We know there's joy in our spirit when we obey. We know that no matter what our circumstances are, our souls can have peace and joy inside when we're obedient to God, when we obey. And yet we choose to disobey. When we look into the scriptures here, we see that Jonah was vomited out on dry land. I mean, he was in the waves. He was at the bottoms of the mountains of the sea. He was in the seaweed and the waters and the waves and all that was going on in one moment. And the next moment, he's back on dry land. When we cry out to God, he'll bring us back to where we need to be. Psalm 41 and 2 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. When you cry out to God, he will hear you, and he'll bring you back to where you need to be. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, everything changed for you. And if you've never experienced the change that comes with being born again, today is the day of salvation. If you'll cry out to Jesus, if you'll trust in Him, He will save you and give you life everlasting. Whatever the next step of obedience is, for you, that's where the blessings come. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The next step of obedience is the next step of blessings. When you look into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, and you continue therein, what does that mean? That means that God's Word showing you the next step to take, and you continue in that, and you take the next right step, and the next right step, and when you continue in the Word of God, and you don't forget the things that you've heard, then God will bless you in the things that you do. It's not complicated. So, the fish is sick, and it brings Jonah to a second chance. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, God is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103:8. And we ought to thank God for that. Thank God that He is merciful. Thank God that he is gracious. Thank God that he is slow to anger and that he's plenteous in mercy. I'm so glad that God is more slow to anger with me than I am with my kids. Listen, if God got as angry with you as you are, as easy as it is for you to get angry at your kids, you'd have been dead a long time ago. I try to remember that when I'm getting frustrated with my kids, and I try to remind myself of how merciful and gracious God's been to me. It's vital that we remember his grace and we teach our children about the mercy and grace of God. I think that I'm alive today because my parents practiced some of that mercy and grace. Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Now listen, there's a lot of reasons in Scripture that God won't hear our prayers. If we refuse to forgive others, he won't forgive us. Husbands, if you're not at right with your wives, God, it's going to hinder your prayers. Did you know that? If things aren't right at home, it's going to hinder your prayers. There's lots of things. If we regard iniquity in our heart, there's lots of things that can hinder our prayers. But I'm telling you this, that if you come to God with a repentant heart, if you come turning away from sin and back to God, if you come turning away from disobedience with a heart to obey, God will hear you. He says that he hears the prayers of the righteous. Where who are the righteous? That's those who believe. And if we believe, then we have to come with repentance, because you can't believe the word of God without turning away from your sin. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin, and we've got to come with a repentant heart, believing, and when we do that, God's going to hear our prayers. It's amazing when we look into the Scriptures, you see Jesus Christ caring about the needs of all kinds of people. You remember the woman at the well? The little man in the tree? The blind beggar on the roadside? The little widow with two mites? The thief on the cross? Listen, these weren't people who were wise. These weren't people who were great. These weren't people who gave lots of money. These weren't people who were righteous in and of themselves. These were people who believed. And because they believed, God saw and he blessed them. Now, listen, I'm guilty of this. I like to stand up here and remind you all the time that God sees us when we sin. And I think that's important to remember. Like, when you want to go do something wrong, so many people in the world today, when you're going to do wrong, they turn out the lights, they wait till the middle of the night. At least it used to be that way, not so much anymore. But what do people do? They look over here, they look over there, they look behind them, they check to see if there's any cameras. But we always got to remember to look up. Always remember to look up, because God is always watching. And I think it's important we remember that God sees when we sin, but can I also remind you, God also sees when you're obedient? Mankind is not going to celebrate your faithfulness to God. The world is not going to rejoice when you do the right thing. And a lot of people will never notice when you do the right thing. But you shouldn't be worried about that. If you do the right thing in the church, you shouldn't be waiting for somebody to pat you on the back and say, good job. What you got to remember is that God sees and God's pleased with our obedience. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 reminds us that God will not overlook our faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Listen, he says to those in the church, he says, listen, God sees what you've done, and God's going to remember what you've done. What you do in the service of the Lord, God sees it. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Let's just remind you of how great God's love is for you. I don't know. Have you ever felt unloved? You ever felt unwanted, uncared for? I think most of us, if we're honest, have felt that way at times. Unappreciated, unloved, unwanted. Come on. I know you've all sang this song. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. At least my mama sang it to me when I whined or complained. Just real quick, how many of you ever heard that before? Just checking. If you hadn't, well, you're welcome. Sometimes we feel alone. We feel like nobody cares. But you have a Savior who cares. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Now, I want you to stop there for a second. I think this is an incredible verse. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion? You know, I remember reading that scripture years and years ago, and I thought, well, there's no way a mother could not love and have compassion on her baby. That's insane to me. That's crazy to me. But we live in a world today where mothers do not love their children. They don't love the sucking child. They don't love the baby that's been born. They don't love the baby that's not been born yet. Brother Brian was at the abortion clinic in Tulsa today pleading with young mothers not to murder their children. And there was a man there, father of a child. And you need to hear this. A lot of people want you to believe that people are just in dire circumstances and they don't have any choice and they don't really know, they don't really understand what they're doing. But this man told Brian today, when Brian was pleading with him not to murder his baby, he said, I hate that baby. Hear me? We live in a world today where parents don't even love their own children. We see it all the time. In the preborn, they're murdered before they're ever born, and when they are born, they're abused and mistreated and neglected. And when I remember reading this as a young man going, how in the world could a mother not love her own child? That's impossible. But God says, yeah, they might forget. They might not love their own children. They might not have compassion on their own children. The world may be that depraved and that wicked and that sick, but God says, I will not forget thee. It may be beyond your understanding to see how a mother could hate her own child. That's reality in our world today, in our sin-sick condition. That's real. But God, this is real too. God will not forget you. Look at the next verse. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. I'll tell you how much God loves you. He puts your name right here. And he puts your name right here when he was nailed to the cross. He will never forget you. You may feel unloved. You may feel unwanted. You may think the whole world is against you, but God is for you, and he loves you. And even if you're stupid and rebellious and stiff-necked, he still loves you. How would you have dealt with Jonah? How would you have dealt with Jonah if he disobeyed your orders, if he ignored your message? Thank God none of us are in the position of God. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. He gave him another chance. You remember when Peter came to the Lord in Matthew 18? How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Our God is a exceedingly merciful God. What if we had the long suffering for others that God has for us? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. At least part of this is really familiar to most of you, verse 32 is, but back up to verse 30, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." What God has freely given to you, we need to freely give to others. George Herbert said, "He who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself." Forgiveness is what we desperately need, and we have to extend forgiveness to others. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenging makes you but even with him. Forgiving sets you above him." What we need to do is be long-suffering and kind to others. So the fish was sick, but God gives a second chance. Back in the beginning of the chapter of the book, chapter 1, verse 2, God told Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Now we're in chapter 3 and verse 2, and he says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you." God's will is still the same, that he would go and do the work he called him to do. Even though he rebelled, even though he failed, even though he fell short, God still calls him back to a place of obedience. I think if we're not careful, because we understand the truth that God is long-suffering and gracious, if we're not careful, we'll presume upon the grace of God. We better be careful about presuming upon the grace of God. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Now we see that in the world today. Somebody commits a crime, they don't get caught, they get away with it, so they do it again. Or they get caught and they get a little slap on the wrist and they get sent out and they do it again. Or maybe they get arrested and they get put in jail, but their trial gets put off for months or years. And people are emboldened to continue to do evil. But listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. You can do a lot of things against the will of God, and he may not bring judgment immediately on you. And you may think in your heart that you've gotten away with it. I promise you, none of us have ever gotten away with anything. Be careful. God warns us in Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." We don't want to frustrate the grace of God. Paul said in Galatians 2:21, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." And God is patient and God is long-suffering, but eventually God's patience is going to run out. Just ask the people of Noah's day. 120 years he prepared, 120 years he preached righteousness, 120 years they had opportunity to repent, but one day the door was closed. We can't change God's plan, but why would we want to? How are we going to improve on the perfect will of God? We spend a lot of time and energy trying to make a plan better than God's, only to realize in the end that God's plan was perfect all along. I told you before about the captain of a ship. He looked across the water and saw a light directly in the path. So he sent out a signal: "Alter your course 10 degrees north. A little bit later, they got a reply: "Alter your course 10 degrees south. The captain was enraged. He said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a captain." A little bit later: "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a seaman, first class, Jones." The captain couldn't contain it anymore. He said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a battleship." The reply came a little bit later: "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a lighthouse." God sending his word. That's us trying to argue with God or change God's plan or do our own thing against God's will is dumber than a ship trying to move a lighthouse. God's word says in Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." We're not going to find victory trying to change the Bible to fit our life. But we can find victory when we alter our lives to line up with the Word of God. Tonight I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. You know, Jonah's a short book. 4 short chapters. Simple story. We're taking our time walking through it because I think so many times we just read over it, we miss so much. And you can read it in a few minutes, but this is a long process. Well, our lives are a long process too. We don't just make one full and final decision and it's all good and you just set your life on autopilot. Listen, friends, your Christian life is always going to be a battle. It's always going to be a struggle. There's always going to be an enemy trying to destroy you. You've always got your flesh fighting against the Spirit of God that's in you. And so we've got to understand that it's a battle. And you're going to mess up. And you're going to sin against God. And you're going to willfully rebel against God. And you're going to have to get back up again. And we've got to learn that progress can be made when we learn to obey. We learn to obey. And we learn to yield to the perfect will of God. Why would we want to do anything else? Maybe he's convicting your heart tonight. Maybe there's a decision you need to make for Christ. Whatever it is, if he's convicting your heart, I want to invite you to respond in faith and obedience while we sing.